Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. My name is Phil Strum. So happy you're with me today. My guest today is a fast rising second generation wrestler in NXT, Bron Breakker. Bron is going to be making a big step up Tuesday at NXT Gold Rush when he challenges Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Bron, of course, is the son of the dog-faced gremlin Rick Steiner and the nephew of Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner. He had maybe more natural ability and presence in the ring right off the bat than nearly anyone I can remember as he vaulted to the top of NXT very quickly. He's a pretty easy choice for a breakout star for Raw or SmackDown, and maybe even WrestleMania, whenever one is needed for the WWE. He's absolutely got the goods. So here we go with my interview with Bron Breakker. Privileged to be joined today by one of the fastest rising stars in pro wrestling I've ever seen, Bron Breakker. Bron, welcome to Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversation. So glad you're with me today.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with what's coming up this Tuesday. You're challenging Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship on NXT. What is it like to have that kind of a challenge staring you in the face for the very first time, just short of 2 years since your first WWE match?
Yeah, I'm very excited for this opportunity. It's high stakes. I know how big of a deal that this is. I know how great that Seth Rollins is. Seth Rollins, greatest in the world right now. I know how tall of a task this is, but, I'm ready. I'm hungry. I've never been more focused and more locked in on something in my entire life. And, I'm up for the task, and I'm ready to go. I can't wait to get in there and just, become the new world heavyweight champion.
Is Rollins kind of that level you aspire to be at, the level of work and consistency and respect that you're seeking in pro wrestling?
Yeah, I think, for sure. I mean, Seth is so great. He's been on top for over 10 years now. He's won every championship probably that there is to win. He's the best, and there's no doubt about that. And that's why he is the world heavyweight champion right now. There's just no doubt in anyone's mind or anything of how great that he is and the example that he's set.
So you were on the road on a European tour just 6 matches into your WWE career. how much training went into things before you debuted on NXT 2.0? And what do you chalk up your aptitude in pro wrestling to? And also, what was that time like? You're working with people like Sami Zayn and Tommaso Ciampa pretty much right out of the gate.
Yeah, that was such a cool experience for me. I had so much fun just being in the locker room and just being around main roster talent. That was such an honor for me to be a part of that. So fun. It was just so cool, man. I got to wrestle Sami Zayn, Tommaso Ciampa. These great superstars. I got to be around all these great superstars backstage and whatnot. And that's probably something I'll never forget. I learned so much in the 5 days that we worked, and I can't thank those guys enough for I don't know I can't remember what it was, maybe 3 or 4 months of experience period at that point. I can't really remember, but basically not very much experience. And the way that they took me along under their wing and just kind of helped me out and gave me the pointers and were just, so nice, so giving, and just so professional. It was awesome.
And just as I was saying to your aptitude, how did you pick things up so fast? Because it seemed like right out of the gate, you were guns a-blazing and it knocked people's socks off.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just I've been an athlete my whole life. I've been a three-sport athlete my entire life. You know, just adapting to different situations and different sports and things is something that I'm incredibly used to. You know, and this is in my blood. This is what I love. This is my passion. This is my dream. This is where I've wanted to be, you know, my entire life. So, you know, this is, I think when you have a love, as much love as I have for this and as much passion that you have for this, there's absolutely no choice but to adapt and become, you know, one of the best.
So being the son of Rick Steiner, the nephew of Scott Steiner, literally the direct descendant of the legendary Steiner brothers, they were also on a pretty high level, pretty fast. Yeah. And, you know, that has to come with positives and negatives. What was it like for you growing up in sports as, you know, as part of that heritage and also as you moved into wrestling?
Yeah. Man, it was fun, man. There was never a dull moment. You know, like I said, I was a three-sport athlete. I was just at the ball field or at practice or on the football field or in the wrestling mat, just like constantly. I just never had a moment, you know, really to settle down. I don't know, you know, but I my two older brothers, man, it was such a great time. Such a, you know, all of us were three sport athletes growing up. So, you know, everybody was just super busy, super competitive in our household. You know, and I mean, it's just the way it was, just the culture, man. It was just, you know, my oldest brother is a college football center. My middle brother was a amateur wrestler in college, you know, and then I was a football player as well. So, you know, everyone played collegiate sports. Everyone played at a high level. So, man, it's just competitive.
And it was football, wrestling, and what was your third?
Baseball.
Interesting.
Good. Yeah.
Speaking of your dad, I'd get criticized by my listeners if I didn't offer you the opportunity to speak a little bit about the reports of your father saying some regrettable things verbally against Giselle Shaw of Impact over WrestleMania weekend. So I wanted to give you that opportunity if you had anything you wanted to share about that or anything, you know, towards her or anybody else.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate the question. And, you know, I can't speak for my father, but, you know, that's not a reflection of me and who I am and what I'm about. So,
all right. I appreciate that. Thank you. Talking about, you know, being an athlete, you know, we mentioned before, your own personal journey into pro wrestling, you played college football. What was it that made you get the bug and say, hey, you know what? It's time to try wrestling.
I grew up in the business, grew up around the business, you know, like my heroes were in the business. So, I mean, this is always what I've wanted to do. It's like from day one, I mean, even I just knew it. I had this, like, you know, like goal, you know, this vision. And, you know, I was watching this, this documentary the other day about Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, he said he had like a vision and he could see it. And if like he could see it, then he could achieve it. And there was just no like possible way that he couldn't succeed. And I feel like that really hit home with me, man. That was just like, I had a vision. I had a goal, like WWE superstar. And like, no one could stop me like from, you know, fulfilling that dream and that goal. You know, I mean, it was just tunnel vision, you know?
Yeah. What was it like training at the Performance Center from the start to now? What do you work on? And are there folks either in the ring or behind the scenes you consider mentors over at NXT and the Performance Center?
Man, it's outstanding. It's the best that there is, hands down. We have the top training facility. We have state-of-the-art, like, ring area, state-of-the-art weight rooms, like, all the top equipment. We have everything that we need. We have, you know, coaches and trainers in that building that have been doing this for 40, 50 years. I mean, we have the best minds in the business around all of us. We have the best minds in the business teaching us. Like, it's unbelievable. It's unparalleled with anything else in the industry. The Performance Center, it just does outstanding work. You know, and they put out, you know, products like myself, Tony D'Angelo, Julius Creed, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams. I could go on. Yeah. Of people who are products of the Performance Center. And, it's an incredible place to be. Incredible coaching staff, just unbelievably professional. They help you with whatever. They take the time and really just like develop, us athletes to the furthest that they possibly can, man. I mean, there's just every coach and every person that's it's involved in the progression of us athletes, the Performance Center, man. It's just they're elite. They're at the top of the game. It's just the best that there is.
And you've been in an NFL camp before too. So how do those two experiences kind of compare?
Yeah. They're different experiences, just different sports. I enjoyed my time with the Ravens. I enjoyed being a part of that. I love football, but this is where I want it to be. I knew it was just going to be a matter of time before like football's over. It's time to go, it's just a matter of time,
What were your early memories of wrestling? Did you like it right off the bat? And are there any of the Steiners allies or foes or friends that you have especially good memories of?
Yeah. There's a lot, I think that obviously I watched my dad, my uncle, that era, that time, Doom, the Nasty Boys, Goldberg, Sting, all that era and that time. But I remember when I was like, I want to say it was WrestleMania 27, where it was The Undertaker and Triple H in Atlanta, at WrestleMania. And I think my brother went to the show went, and he brought a cup home and it had, Triple H, Undertaker on the front. And I was like, look at Triple H. I'm like, man, who is like huge, jacked up? Like, and I was like, damn it. Like, and then from that point on, I was just like, was hooked, was into it. Became watching all the time. Triple H became one of my favorites of all time. The strength and the love that the passion that I already had for it, the generation before, my dad and Scotty. And it was just, it was such a cool thing, just to be a kid during that time, it's cool.
And I got a kick out of it when they were doing the thing on NXT where Von Wagner and Mr. Stone were talking about the Beverly Brothers wrestling, I think the Steiners, at a Royal Rumble. And that cracked me up because when you guys both debuted on the first NXT 2.0, that was the first thing I thought of. These two guys' dads, I think that was before you were born. And I think Von Wagner was very little when that happened in 1993. So, but, do you have like relatable experiences with other second generation wrestlers?
Yeah, I love Vaughn. Vaughn is great. Him and I, we have discussions from time to time about, our fathers and our family being a part of the business and, just ideas and stuff and, whatever, just chit chatting or whatever. And it's been, it's been a pleasure for me. I've met some of the other, second, third generation superstars that are on the main roster as well. And, some of the wisdom that they've been able to give me. And it's just cool, man. It's really cool just to like, I don't know, just be a part of that and be present,
Yeah. It's also remarkable physically how well you pull off some of the signature Steiner moves. Like when you were first moving around in the ring, was that some of the first stuff you wanted to try out? Was seeing the slam and the Steiner line and maybe not the Frankensteiner right out of the gate, but.
Yeah, I had an idea of a few things that I would, thought was cool, that I would like to do. And another thing, I think it's just, like legacy, it's just some things that I want to keep alive that they've built you know, they laid the groundwork for me. They built, you know, their brand, you know, and it's just kind of the tip of the cap type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, the Frankensteiner, the Steiner line, you know, I get in, you know, I do the Frankensteiner, you know, kind of my own way. It's just moves the same, but I do that my own, you know, with my own flavor. It's a little bit different, you know, sometimes in the way that Scotty used to do it. You know, I just, that's all it is. Just respect. And, you know, just, I just, those things meant something to me.
Yep.
When I was a kid, and they still do. And that's just something I want to keep going.
And some of it's timeless. You know, the style, the slam that you do, that your dad did also, is kind of like the old Buzz Sawyer kind of sudden, you know, grab the guy and just turn him over too.
So yeah.
I think that still works in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's impactful.
Yeah. You know, I make it mean something, and I make it impactful. And, you know, that's really how it should be. Cause if I'm going to, you know, use some of their moves or do some of the things that they used to do back in the day, then I better do them right. So, you know, I think that I've done that. I think I've put my own spin on a few things that they used to do and kind of, you know, make it Braun Breaker's own. So, yeah, man.
So we're going to move on to something we call the three count now. It's going to be three quick questions and your answers. So the first question, your family seems to have a lot of nicknames, from the dog-faced gremlin to the big bad booty daddy. What is your personal favorite nickname you've heard for a member of your family?
Big Papa Pump is hard to beat, man.
That's classic.
Yeah, that's tough.
Next question. What did it feel like for you the first time you did a top rope Frankensteiner?
You know, that's really easy to do, to be honest with you. For me, at least, it's just, you know, I could already do a backflip standing up on the ground and you know, front flip or whatever, but it's pretty easy for me to pick up.
Do you remember who the first one you did it in the ring in a match two was? It does take two to tango a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know. It probably had to be Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, I think so. You worked with him a lot, right?
At the very beginning. I know I hit it on him on that tour that we did overseas. I know I did it a few times on that. You know, but I can't remember if I did it on TV or not. I can't remember, but he was definitely the first one, you know.
I always loved the ones, you obviously, you know, watching the Steiners as a kid, seeing Scott pull that off. But even as he got bigger and sometimes would still pull that off, like some of his later matches in like TNA and stuff, and he'd be like pumping his fist that he did it. Like, I was so just happy to see that Scott could still do the Frankensteiner, because it was just,
yeah,
it's such an Scotty's, amazing move when done correctly.
Scotty's crazy athletic back in the day, just like on a level of his own. I'm still, you know, there's one move that he used to do back in the day. I've been working on it for a while. It's extremely tough to do. No one has done it since him. Nobody. I think it's just because of ability. Like, it's an extremely hard move to do. I've been working on it. I'm not there yet, but at some point I'm going to do it. It's, you know, it's a tough one, but I think it's going to be worth a while.
You seem unwilling to reveal which move it is.
I want to keep that one a secret, because it's, you know, I think people are going to go like, holy crap.
Exactly. So last question, if you were to apply Steiner math to the match on Tuesday, what would Seth Rollins' chances at winning be? 33 and a third at best?
Yeah, 33 and a third.
There you go. Yep. Very good. Well, Braun Breaker, thank you so much for joining me today on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. Again, you're facing Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship Tuesday on the first part of NXT Gold Rush. All the best to you moving forward, and very impressed with everything you've done in your career.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I'll see you guys Tuesday night.
All right. Thank you. Thanks again, everyone, for joining me today on Under the Ring Pro Wrestling Conversations. I'd like to thank Braun Breaker, and I'd really like to thank Chuck Kingsbury from WWE for helping me put this together. Be sure to check out my episode this week with World Women's Champion Rhea Ripley as well, also available today. and make sure to join me next week when my guest is someone maybe from your childhood. It's the one and only Mr. Technical, the winner, Barry Horowitz. Barry and I had a very fun chat, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Have a great week, everyone.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.